Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we consider everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am your host, John Davis. On this show, we do not obsess over the end of the world, but rather we are looking to see the glory of God show up in every area of our lives. We are not waiting to go down in glorious defeat. We are expecting to win. You are listening to part two of a two-part series on Is America a Christian Nation? So I want to address something that I believe is a thinking issue for those of us who are Christians in America, is this idea of our glorious Christian past. You may have grown up listening on Christian radio to David Barton or others talk about America's Christian history, America's Christian heritage. I love that stuff. I still love it. I was just reading about some things about the founding fathers today. I love that stuff. But here's a question I have for you. Should we as Americans wish to return somehow to the glory days of our Christian past? Is that what we are about? Well, here's my answer for that. There's nothing wrong with learning from the past. If you have kids, teach your kids. Teach your kids the Christian history of America. And I don't mean by that everything that ever happened in America was Christian. There are some things that decidedly weren't. So teach both the good things and the things that we needed to be repented of, or still need to be repented of, right? That needs to be taught. I learned that growing up. I learned about the mighty faith of some of the early Christian founders of America and of the pilgrims, and I learned all that. I also learned that people kidnapped Africans and sold them as slaves and owned them and treated them like animals. It's not, we don't need to hide the things that actually happened. I learned about the Trail of Tears and the way the natives that were here before the European immigrants came suffered. We don't have to hide those things. I think sometimes Christians, they want this glorious Christian past, so they're afraid to just openly acknowledge those things. Think about the way the Bible teaches stories. It always makes a lot of the people look like idiots. And God did it. Well, that's because that's true. So our mighty founding fathers were humans. And they made mistakes. And mistake is almost like an understatement. And if you are someone who is suffering from one of those mistakes, you might be offended to hear it just referred to as a mistake. I read the life of Frederick Douglass a while ago, and hearing him talk of his experience in America during the era of slavery, it's like, hey, that's not what I have experienced. So America has a glorious Christian past, and it also has a past of horrific sins. Isn't that strangely like our own lives? God has come into our life and brought us into reconciliation with Him, but in our past, there's also horrible things. And sometimes we make horrible mistakes now. And sometimes it's really horrible. Slavery, for example, is really horrible. So we don't need to hide those things. And it's not an either or. Either America has a glorious Christian past, or there were horrible sins. They're both true. And we need to study them both and look at them both openly and honestly. But I want to suggest that knowing the past, both the glorious goodness of it and the sinful repentance motivating the repentance neededness of it. Don't know what the right word is there. But we should be looking to a glorious future. We should be looking to a glorious future. We want to teach the next generation America's Christian story, including everything that was not Christian at all, such as slavery or any oppression or violation that happened to the native peoples. But we're looking at, what we're really looking for is the new Christian America. Everyone, there's a general consensus, at least among most Christians, that America was more Christian in the past somehow, right? But when things go backwards, or we perceive they're going backwards, or we perceive they're going downhill, or we're losing the battle somehow, I often wonder, why don't we ask the question, well, how did they do it the first time? the world did not start out in the early era of America as Christian. When Jesus came into the world was not Christian. But the power of the gospel was so much that the Christian influence has been spreading ever since for 2,000 years. How did they do it? How have various nations been influenced by Christianity? How was America one of the most influenced by Christianity of them all? How did they do it? If they could do it, why can't we? If previous generations could teach and preach the whole gospel for all of life, teaching people to obey everything that Jesus commanded, discipling nations, why can't we? What is stopping us from doing this in the future? What is preventing it? Well, as in a previous episode, at least I think it was previous, I haven't published them yet, so hopefully it's not after this one, but I think it's that end times obsession coming up again, which I don't want to fight with you about your and my end times interpretation. But without a doubt, there's kind of an expectation that we are supposed to lose. So make sure whenever that episode is, whenever and wherever that episode is, make sure you find it and have a listen. We are not supposed to be obsessed about the Antichrist and the end of the world. We are supposed to be obsessed with Jesus and teaching his ways in every area of life and worshiping him. That is what we are about. And I want to, and you think, you may think you know that it's the end of the world season, but you don't. Other generations have thought that before you, and other generations will think that after you. And at some point, some generation is going to happen to guess right, because they're going to say Jesus is coming bodily soon, and then there he's going to come. But it's not, I don't believe it will be because they actually knew, because nobody knows when he's coming bodily back to this planet. But until then, people had hundreds, multiple hundreds of years long plans to Christianize and create a city on a hill here. Why can't we do that now? Why can't we have a 20-year plan, a 50-year plan, a 100-year plan, a 200-year plan, a 300-year plan, a 500-year plan for a shining city on a hill? Why can't we have that? I can't think of any reason. That's what I'm devoted to. So I know there's been recent events at the time of this recording, and it's April of 2021 right now, and there was a very distressing election for a lot of people recently. And I know many people think this is the end. You know, America is no more. And I don't know all about that, but this is what I know. If America exists in 100 years or 200 years, I want it to be more Christian than it is now because of my life. So I am working forwards. I'm working towards a glorious Christian future for America. And I don't mean Christian in name or symbolism, or we won some sort of a political battle and everybody admits, yes, we're Christian. You know, that's not, I mean actual hearts changed, actual Christian principles implemented in every area of life. That's what I mean. I believe that American Christians, and maybe Christians around the world, have been caught in a fear trap. And it's because we're so convinced it's the end of the world, this is it, it's all over for us, because we're convinced of this, we are letting the other side, or who we perceive to be the other side, win. I don't want to pursue a Christian future out of fear of loss, but out of hope, and out of a sense of inevitable victory that comes from the Lord. So we need to repent of our fear. Fear of progressives, fear of humanists, liberals, whatever it is. They're not the problem. We are. If we will embrace God, he will give us the victory. If we will learn his ways, he will give us the victory. I want to address another idea, which I think is something that we as American Christians need to grapple with. And I don't know, there's a high potential to be misunderstood on some of this, but I'm just going to start saying it and trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So I want to start by saying, as far as patriotism is concerned, my natural disposition from a very young age is I love my country. It's beyond rational. It's a love beyond rational. I'm not sure where it came from. Did it come from God? Did it come from just being trained to think that way? I have all sorts of ideas about where my patriotism comes from. And I might be no more of where it comes from than I'm letting on. But I think we, as Americans, and any nation needs to grapple with some ideas here. And that is, have we made idols relative to our patriotism? Have we made idols relative to our patriotism? And I'm not talking about have the progressives or the secularists or the humanists or the atheists made idols. I'm talking about we who claim the name of Christ. Have we made some idols out of our patriotism? Have we made our love for America an idol? Are some of our monuments literally idols? The whole idea of American exceptionalism, can we make that an idol? I'm not asking if it's true. I'm saying, can we make it an idol? Can we make, you know, America's the greatest, America's the best, an idol? I mean, I have these feelings. I mean, I love being from here. I love being from this country. I don't feel ashamed to be American at all. I feel delighted. When people see me and know I'm an American, I'm happy that they know I'm an American, and I love it here. I love driving 4 days across the country, all the beauty that is there. I love the culture. I love our people. I love the history of what God has done here, the great revivals and the great Christian things that God has done in our story. I love it. But is it possible that, especially, I'm going to say, on the political front, we as American Christians have made some idols out of patriotism and out of Christian nation and out of, warm feelings when you see the flag? Can we make an idol out of our flag? Ah, yeah, I know. Ouch, right? I know there are some people that are probably ready to tune out just because I'm saying that. And I don't know, unless God touches your heart, you might not be the right person for this podcast. Because I'm saying some of the things I'm saying because I want you to know I am not even remotely anti-American. I don't hate America. I love this country, and I have a hope for the future, and I'm going down swinging. If this is the end of America, I'm going down swinging. I'm going to be preaching and doing my prophetic confrontation and my servanthood dominion and proclaiming the power of God with all my might, and I'm going down with a bang, right? And I when I see the flag, I feel strong, warm feelings. So I don't lack feelings of patriotism. But I wonder about, it's like our priorities are off. It's like we're misunderstanding something. It's like our patriotism sometimes, and if the shoe fits, wear it, right? Maybe it's not you. I don't know. But I think I see it at least some in our Christian culture. I'm talking about us Christians now, okay? We're cleaning up the home front here. We're not talking about the bad people out there that are ruining our country. We're talking about us ruining our country. Patriotism can be an idol. And I want to share with you an idea from the Bible about this. And it's in Numbers 21. And it's about how a good thing can be an idol. Okay, we can make like a monstrous idol of a golden calf and worship it. And it's very clear. Everyone's going, oh, that's just awful. You're worshiping a golden calf. But I want to show you a story in the Bible where a good thing that God commanded to be built that healed people miraculously became an idol for them. And the story is in Numbers 21, when the people were speaking against Moses and God sent poisonous snakes among them, and some of them were killed. So the people cried out and said, save us, Moses, do something, talk to God, help us. So God told Moses to build a snake and put it on a pole. And Moses literally put a metal snake up on a pole and the people would look at it and be healed. A miracle. Supernatural healing through a snake on a pole. And if you didn't know this, which you probably did, the whole medical symbol of a pole with a snake around it, that comes from this story. So there's a part of your answer to, was America ever a Christian nation? How influenced have we been? How about all of Western civilization? That symbol comes from this story. But they put this metal snake on a pole, Moses did, and the people looked at it and were healed. Okay. Now, many years later, in 2 Kings, chapter 18, in the long string of kings that were either backslidden or revivalists, you get to 2 Kings 18, and there's a righteous king named Hezekiah. And it says right in the passage that one of the things that he did was he took the serpent on a pole that Moses had made and broke it into pieces because the people were offering incense to it. It had become an idol. So a symbol that God gave to Moses that brought great healing had become an idol in the land. And I want to ask you, is it possible for something good and powerful, even something that comes from God and something that God did, to become an idol? Look in the mirror, friend. I'm looking in the mirror. On more than one occasion when I'm having feelings for my country, I ask God, Lord, help me. Do I have idolatry in my life? I'm always looking to see. When I feel proud to be an American, it's like, I'm not convinced that's totally wrong to be proud of where you're from, you know, because it's not the kind of pride that leads to destruction. At least I don't think it is, right? But I want God to examine my heart. In any way where I've become proud in the wrong way, where I've made an idol of my country, an idol of my patriotism, an idol of my flag, an idol of American traditions. You know, I was in India watching a movie with a bunch of Indian friends once. And there was just this little moment in the movie where one man said, you know, even the big boys are being affected, you know, by this kind of disease of terrorism. And just seeing the kind of nod to the greatness of America filled me. I was like flushed with pride. I don't know if I should be embarrassed for saying that, but I loved it. You know, I was like, yes, we're the best. We're at the top, right? Well, I want God checking my heart for idolatry. And I also want to be free to just have natural feelings for loving the place that I'm from. You know, if you're on a baseball team and your baseball team wins all the time, there's nothing wrong with feeling good about that, right? But hey, let's check our hearts. And we need an honest evaluation. Like, I really sincerely wonder if Christians are going to be the voice we need to be to oppose the next unjust war. Because of our feelings of patriotism. It's like the idea of supporting a war where people are going to be blown limb from limb and maimed for life or killed or scarred emotionally and psychologically for life, families destroyed, economies destroyed. Patriotism is not a good justification for that. So I just spoke right at an idol there. So if you ever support a war because you're a patriot, I want to say that that's not the right reason to support a war. It needs to be just. As Christians, we need to be looking and say, is this a just cause? Is this a legitimate cause? Because the consequences are horrendous. So yeah, that's probably a whole episode there. But all I really want to address today is if we want America to be a Christian nation, any idols we have of what a Christian nation is are going to have to come down. Because how can God bless us and give us the Christian nation, the nation of revival, you know, the return to the good things and the advance to even better things that we want if we are worshiping an idol by all those names? So once again, if the shoe fits, wear it. I suspect, and I don't know you, right now, victorious Christian ambassador who's listening to this, I don't know if you have idolatry in your heart. I can't know your heart. But I can say I see some things in a Christian culture, and beware and take a close look, because we're not going to be able to pursue with a pure heart preaching the gospel and raising up our nation if we are in the bondage of idolatry of our nation, of idolatry of the good things. And all my international friends who've heard me talking, yes, most of us Americans have been taught, well, now it's the other way around. Many Americans have been taught that America is the worst thing that ever happened to the world. But most of us who are older were taught this is the best country ever, even before we went to another country. We had it ground into our minds that this is the greatest country ever, right? And we believe it. But let's beware, my fellow Americans, of idolatry, and let's look at our own hearts and repent. And repent before God. And you don't have to go to the dark side. You don't have to embrace liberal Christianity or progressivism or communism or Marxism. You don't have to embrace some evil political ideology. I don't know where this is coming from, this kind of idea that there's only two choices. Old-fashioned Christian America of the past or communism. It's like, can't we be humble? Can't we be both excited about the past and humble about the past and excited about the future and repent of our sins and repent of any idolatry we have? Isn't that possible? I see it happening. People, I have seen many people, they grew up in maybe a more conservative type church with conservative religious values and conservative political values, and then they get disillusioned in some way. And they take what I think is a really odd response of going kind of to the opposite, or what they perceive as the opposite, and become a progressive or a liberal. And I know I'm throwing those words out now, but I think there's a false dichotomy going on there in some cases, that you have to choose between America's ancient, perfect Christian past, or America was this kind of horrific, mess that destroyed the world. It's like, well, that, I don't think that's accurate at all. But what I'm saying is, just like your story, America has good and bad in the past. But we have to see it all. Just the same, this is so much like your personal life. You have to see yourself as you really are. If you're always down on yourself and you hate yourself, that's not what God wants. But if you have an unrealistically inflated vision of your own greatness, that's not what God wants either. God wants us to see what really is. God wants us to see the beauty of what God has done, while recognizing, for example, that the Frederick Douglasses of history did not experience the beauty of it. They experienced the horror of it. Humility, casting down idols. We can make the Constitution an idol. We can make the Founding Fathers an idol. We can make the idea of America being Christian an idol. We can make the flag an idol. We can make supporting the military an idol. We can make supporting the police an idol. I know I'm like stepping on toes here. And I'm not saying all of those things are inherently evil. Maybe some are. I don't know. But that's not my point. What I'm saying is they can all be idols. If it's an idol in your mind and life, you're stuck and you're not seeing clearly. So God, help me to pull the speck or the log out of my own eye here, Lord. If there's any log in my eye of my own idolatry of my nation and the things that I love, I want to get rid of those idols and have the pure love of God and His vision and His heart for a city on a hill. A city on a hill that doesn't make the world be democracies. A city on a hill where the world looks and says, I want that. I want what they've got. Look what they're doing. That's amazing. You realize that's how it started. The influence of America is when the nations of the world saw what was happening here and said, we want that too. And they wrote their own constitutions and they wrote their own stories and liberty movements. It wasn't because Americans with guns came and said, you're going to have democracy now. That's not how it happened. That's not how it's going to happen the next time either. We want to build something when the world looks, they say, oh, wow, we want that. Something that honors God. So How do we return to our Christian heritage? How does this happen? The key to revival and reformation in America and throughout Christian civilization is not to rebuke the progressives and the humanists and the atheists and to stop them. We have to look at us. Americans and Christians in all countries, you know, being obsessed with the end of the world or idolizing our countries or sin in our own lives or sin in our own churches, this is where the problem is. I would submit to you that in the long run, it's almost impossible to lose unless there's sin. Think about when that one wicked king, I didn't put this in my notes here, but that one wicked king was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel. He was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel, but Balaam couldn't curse Israel. When he tried, he could only bless them, right? But at some point, Balaam basically prophesied that, or said, to the only way you're going to destroy Israel is you have to destroy them morally and get them into immorality and idolatry. This is true of we, the body of Christ, the victorious kingdom ambassadors and representations of God on this planet. The only thing that can defeat us is ourselves, our own sin. So again, the progressives, the Democrats, if you're, you know, a Republican, the other side, the association, whatever that group is that goes around suing schools everywhere to, you know, get all Christian symbolism and prayer out of the schools, I can't remember what it's called right now, Freedom From Religion Foundation or whatever. These people are not the problem. We have to look to the home front to find the problem. We have to look in our own hearts, seek for our own idolatries, our own corrupt worldviews, and work on us. We need revival. If we get revival, if we get revival, if we get repentance, if we cast down our idols, if we return to Christ, the culture is going to follow us, ultimately. It may take time. I can't promise you what you're going to see in your life because I don't know. But over time, the culture will come back to Christ. The people are going to follow that. And besides, it's the nature of things. Living in sin brings destruction. Living for God brings prosperity as a general rule, with persecutions, is the way the New Testament presents it. So all of those great evils that we're so afraid of, why are we afraid? We you know what it's like? It's like the reports that are coming back from our promised land, our own country. The country we love, the country with a great Christian history and heritage and sins in the past as well. It's like the report we're getting is there's giants in the land. The Democrats, the progressives, the liberals, the universities, the cancel culture, the liberal news media, all of these giants are in the land, and we pull out our hair and throw sand in the air and say, oh no, America is done. There are giants in the land. They're really there. These things are really there. They're there because we stepped out of the way and let them have the land. And some of our ancestors did the same. But let me tell you something. If we repent of our idols and return to Christ with our full hearts and allow God to change us, and we learn what the Bible says about every area of life, and we go out and preach it and teach it and live it and disciple our nation, those giants are coming down. Because it's almost, in a sense, they're not our real enemy. They are the things we are afraid of, but they're not our real enemy. But those, God himself will crush those things and destroy those things and destroy the enemies of his people. And part of that destruction will be some of those very people who are trapped in those bondages right now will join us. And some will insist on rebelling against God. That's the human story. So just to kind of sum up, you know, what I've been talking about is I started by asking, is America a Christian nation? Was it a Christian nation? Should it be a Christian nation? Can nations be Christians? Should they be Christians? How do we Christianize them? You know, and I talked about how, you know, you have to clarify what do you mean by Christian, right? And how, you know, it's really a more complex question. I would say America has a strong, has been highly influenced by Christianity, has a strong Christian presence of in the population in the past. Our institutions and our systems and our culture have been influenced by Christianity highly, very much. And we're in a season of some measure of decline in those things. But it's all about the glorious future. And I believe God is purifying the church. He's purifying us of our idols, our idolatries about the past. You know, over-glorifying the past or perfecting it or removing the stains that were there, pretending they weren't there somehow. You know, we need to repent of those things. And if we will repent and we will return to God, God's going to give us the land. I don't know what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Here on this land that we call America will be a Christian nation, because the whole world is becoming a Christian nation. That's where this is all headed. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Jesus is the Lord of this planet, and every nation is moving, will be moved towards him. Okay, so that there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be a Christian world here. Whether it's the current, you know, thing that we call America, I don't know. I don't know what choices future generations are going to make. You know, I don't know if, you know, all of the immigrants coming here will build something better. Maybe they'll build something better, huh? Maybe they'll repent of our sins and build something better. I don't know. But we need to focus on repenting of our sins and getting our house in order. And yes, we need to prophetically speak to the evils in the world, including all those groups I mentioned earlier when they're speaking evil and doing evil. We do need to speak against those things. But underlying it all, we need to have a core understanding that the actual solution is in us. The actual repentance and change needs to happen in us. If we change, the country will follow. That's the way it works. Thank you so much for taking this time to listen. I don't ever want you to miss an episode, so please subscribe to this podcast. If you can find a way to message me or contact me and let me know your thoughts, I would love to hear what you're thinking. But again, this is John Davis, and I am the host of the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we talk about anything and everything in the light of the gospel. And you, my fellow victorious kingdom ambassador, go out and disciple the nations. Repent and disciple the nations. God bless you. Thank you, friend, for taking your valuable time to listen to the Gospel of Everything podcast today. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and have more hope for the future. Make sure right now to take a moment to subscribe in your favorite app. If you don't ever want to miss a thing, please visit gospeloveverything.com and subscribe to be notified by email as well. See you again next week for the next episode of the Gospel of Everything podcast. Be blessed.